Hello, respected viewers. It's George Myland. Welcome back to my channel. Check out those fairy lights. Who says I don't do Yuletide properly? All right, so this is a lending point to what I said earlier. And remember where you heard it first, because only hours after I was saying, well, Ukraine unfortunately can be brought to its knees in 2025, not 2024, and there will be some untidy compromise, some fudge, you know, constructive ambiguities, they called it, in relation to the Good Friday Agreement, about the status of East Ukraine and Crimea, something like that. But this may happen even sooner than I thought, because I was saying the shipments of Western arms are being reduced, funding is drying up. So this is like existential crisis for Ukraine as a sovereign state, because, you know, Russia could overwhelm them. Tends not to be too much movement in the winter, but, you know, Russia has stretched up those drone attacks. And for the moment, Ukraine can contain that. But if they don't get more missiles for their air defense, then they won't be able to contain it. So it could happen actually a bit sooner than I initially thought. Consider it's just today that the Kiel Institute for its Ukrainian aid tracker published data, and they found that pledges of aid to Ukraine have now fallen to their lowest ever level. Notice pledges of aid are not actual deliveries of aid. Often they promise an amount and give considerably less. This is taking into account arms shipments, humanitarian aid, and money. So this fell 87% from August to October 2023 compared to the same period 2022, August to October 2022. So all that Ukraine received over those 3 months was worth around 2.1 billion euros. A fraction, so as in they what they received from August to October 2022, they received over 20 billion euros worth of arms, of humanitarian aid, which could be like tents, generators, medicines, medical equipment, food, winter clothing, anything. And those special windows, that Cambridge undergraduate invented a way to just replace windows very quickly, very cheaply, because when they were blown out, the drafts and the snow coming into people, that could just kill people with the cold. So there's all very worrying for them, and indeed money. So what's Ukraine going to do? Now, why has there been this very abrupt declension in aid shipments, and indeed from some non-Western countries such as the Republic of Korea and Japan? And now, admittedly, the South Koreans, they refuse to give armaments, partly they don't want to be provocative towards Russia, who will then up the ante with their ally North Korea. Now, that may be a forlorn hope, because the People's Democratic Republic of Korea is bosom buddies with the Putin regime. So, you know, South Korean said, well, I mean, it can't really get any worse. Of course, you know, North Korea hates us like poison, and Putin is backing them to the hilt, is buying their armaments. So, you know, we've got nothing to lose, really. In fact, it would send a signal to the Kremlin that if you do this, if you supply our deadly enemy, you will pay a price for it. Because if we don't do that by helping Ukraine, why should Russia desist? And, you know, the people covet those South Korean black Tiger tanks and so on, but they're not being shipped to Ukraine. And plus, it's unpopular to the South Korean public. There's an election very soon. And most South Koreans said, well, we need these armaments to defend ourselves from that maniacal crime family in Pyongyang, led by Fat Boy Fat. Sorry for fat shaming. Okay. All right. So we'll go on. Yeah, so the political will to keep arming Ukraine is drying up. So, and people reach saturation point with their compassion for Ukraine. It's just like fatigue. We just started to shrug it off. And, you know, one death at the beginning of the war, we'd have to have 10 deaths at this stage of the war for people to pay such notice. You've heard it so many times before. It's lost its power to shock. So most European countries are economically straitened circumstances. You know, I see how my electricity bill, how high it is, paying the highest taxes for 70 years, and no, not getting the best public services. And the United Kingdom is by no means in the worst situation. Republic of Ireland, we're in one of the best situations, actually. So countries are feeling ungenerous compared to before, and people are grumbling, saying, you know, charity begins at home. We have to look after our own people, not them. What's Ukraine ever done for us? And people are then poo-pooing this notion that should Putin subjugate Ukraine, it will not be his next victim. So Germany is the European Union's largest economy, and it's tipped to enter recession in 2024 and drag some of the others down with it. Now, thought not to be a calamitous recession, but we shall see. So politicians who oppose arming and funding Ukraine have come to the fore, as in Geert Wilders leading his Partij voor de Vrijheid to victory in the Netherlands, and supposedly going to be for prime minister, and then in Slovakia, Robert Fico becoming prime minister. So many of Ukraine's Western allies, they are demoralized because the Ukrainian counteroffensive was an almost total failure, gaining only 16 kilometers at its deepest point of penetration. So in many Western countries, the generals are saying that they have run down their arsenals to a dangerously low level, and they depleted them because they are donating their arms to Ukraine, and say, well, how would we fight a war if we had to? Because we can't manufacture arms anything like the rate we've been handing them over, and ammunition in particular. And they said, you know, this Gaza conflict, there is a danger that this contagion could spread, and there'd be a Western, so there was a Western intervention in the Middle East because there'd be some Middle East conflagration. I mean, I think unlikely. Here we are 2 months after those attacks on Israel. But obviously, that eventuality certainly can't be ruled out. I say it would just be so unwise to be leaving ourselves almost defenseless. So they don't want to increase vulnerability at a time of such volatility. So in the United States, Republicans of the Senate, they voted down this Ukraine funding package because of they say they need more funding for border security. And the Ukraine aid was tied to the Israeli aid. You know, Ukraine is going to get about three quarters of it. So Joe Biden is going to have to compromise on that one and build, ironically, he's the one who has to build some of Trump's wall. So I think if he really wants to help Ukraine, he's just going to have to agree with that. And so even if Ukraine does get some of that, is it $50 billion package, might be less than $50 billion. And it's not going to be immediately. It may not be till well into January. So the European Union is struggling to get this aid package worth $53 billion passed. And I'm saying it in dollars. I know they're actually giving it in euros. They're trying to be consistent between the currencies. And if it is donated, that'll be dispersed over the next 4 years. So the European Parliament, are they going to pass it? So there are 42 donor countries as part of the Rammstein group, and only 20 of them have pledged any aid at all since August 2023, and they tend to be giving rather less than they used to. So their liberality has been stretched to the limit, and they're also dispirited because they say, you know, we gave all this aid and we haven't seen the military success that we wanted to. Now, some Ukrainians saying when they cross the Dnieper, that's really for political rather than military reasons. And to some extent, that's true. But if you don't, you know, wars are fought for political reasons. And if you don't satisfy these countries who are the armourers or the treasurers of Ukraine, then the military aid is going to stop flowing. So, I mean, wars are sometimes just won by numbers. Like the First World War, Second World War, many wars won by numbers. Not necessarily won numbers of troops, but numbers of, you know, bullets, numbers of tanks, numbers of shells and so on, numbers of planes, numbers of ships. I know there's quality as well. I know there's grand strategy. But, you know, the Allies in both the First World War and the Second World War had a numerical advantage. By the end, had an enormous numerical advantage. So sometimes it's something that simple. Not saying that valor and other factors don't play a part. So the Ukrainian invasion 2022 was supposed to take Kyiv in just 3 days. And that's what many of Putin's pundits were saying on Russian TV for months beforehand. And now that was an ignominious failure. But this new strategy appears to be a war of attrition just to drag it out. And that is paying dividends for Putin. Often said that would. Remember, Russia outnumbers Ukraine 3.5 to 1 by population. So Ukraine will run out of troops long before Russia. Now, if Ukraine could mobilize more of its military age population, maybe it could approach parity there. But plus, you know, something like 20,000 young men have skipped the country illegally, and they could be arrested in most of the European Union countries where they've gone to and sent back. It would help. There could be fewer exemptions. Would more women volunteer? Remember, men under the age of 60 can't go abroad, have to fight or help the war economy in some ways. But, you know, a man aged 59 is often not in the first flush of youth in terms of physical fitness. So there's a limit to what he can do. And so if Ukraine can't achieve parity of numbers, it almost certainly can't. The only way it could win is by being given a lot more modern weapons than Russia has. And then Ukraine would have a real chance. But although, you know, Ukraine's been given some F-16s, finally some of these Abrams tanks have arrived, it's too little, too late. And they're just not in sufficient numbers. So Ukraine could collapse under the sheer weight of Russian metal. And war weariness is setting in Ukraine. Already people are grumbling, asking if they can really afford to go on suffering so many deaths for such a minimal gain in territory. So there is a chance that Ukraine's morale could collapse, or Russia might make some extraordinary breakthrough in 2024 because the shortage of munitions for the Ukrainian side. Anyway, if we carry on at this rate, Ukraine is going to lose. Now, there's time to turn it around, but there's not that much time. So Ukraine is going to find it ever more difficult to pay salaries and to carry out essential maintenance on infrastructure, you know, roads, railways, the electric grid, anything like that. The European Union was providing $6 billion a month simply to sustain all this for Ukraine, but that's now been cast into doubt. The only bright spot on the horizon of the Ukrainians is they are successfully exporting more and more grain through the Black Sea, despite Russia withdrawing from the Black Sea Grain Initiative in July. Now, obviously, Ukraine urgently needs to export more to earn foreign exchange so it can try and fund itself and lessen its economic burden on donor countries. Right. So thank you so much for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon and donate on PayPal. George Callahan 79@gmail.com. Bye.